I invite you there, take your Bibles and turn with us, if you would, Psalm 122. Psalm 122 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. There was once a little boy who, after a church service, he went up to the pastor and they were talking, and the pastor asked the little boy, he asked, "Do you know why we have coffee after the service?" Without skipping a beat, the child looked at the pastor and said, "So that everybody can wake up before they have to drive home." Now, I know some folks here, and now I know nobody in this church ever falls asleep when I'm preaching. And I just know nobody falls asleep, despite sometimes the snoring that we hear. And but, you know, despite, you know, that answer being amusing, it also points to a greater truth, and that is this, that many people simply, they just attend church out of habit or because they feel that they have to and not because they want to. But here in Psalm 122, we find a psalmist who was not reluctantly walking into church, but he was a person who was gladly walking into church. You're there, Psalm 122. And notice, if you would, there, verse number 1. The Bible says this, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." For a few moments this morning, I want to preach just on this thought. Especially last Friday was just Valentine's Day, the holiday of love. But I want to preach us on this subject this morning, a simple one from this verse, and that is simply this: loving church. Loving church. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word. Lord, this morning I just pray you'd quiet our hearts, quiet our minds, help us to focus on you and you alone. I pray this morning that you now would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone, and may the message be a help, a challenge, and encouragement to these, your people. And Lord, this morning I pray you would help us to just either find the love for the church, rekindle the love for the church, but whatever the case may be, may we leave here loving the church more than we did when we came in. And now, Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you and we need you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we think about this verse this morning, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I want to think about a very simple question, and that is, do we still feel that joy when we gather as God's people? Or maybe has the church become just another part of our weekly routine? And I hope that by the end of the message this morning that you will come away from it saying that it is something that I look forward to more than something, well, what we have to. And there's several thoughts I want to give us this morning regarding the thought of loving church and why we ought to love church. And the first is just very simply this. Number one, Christ died for the church. Christ died for the church. When we think this morning about the value of the church, and is the church important, and is the church special, we need to start with a foundational truth, and that is this, that Christ died for this place, Christ died for this institution. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Notice what it says, last part of verse 28, "to feed the church of God," notice what it says, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." If we were to take the time and go to Ephesians, in Ephesians, the Bible talks about how husbands, you are to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. It's because this morning of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that we have salvation. But we have to realize that his sacrifice on the cross, his death on the cross, it just wasn't for an individual's salvation. It was also for the establishment. It was also for the redemption of his church. The Bible here in Acts tells us that he bought the church with his own blood. And that speaks volumes this morning about the value that he places on his church. Again, in Ephesians, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now listen, husbands, if your wife says and comes to you and asks you, "Will you die for me?" And you say, "Absolutely, honey, I'll die for you." And she looks at you and says, "Is that all you would do for me?" You have problems. Because there's not much more a husband can do or a person can do for somebody that they love than to lay down their life for them. John, the Bible tells us, there's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater love than somebody giving their life for somebody else. You imagine walking into a store and you look at a beautiful painting on the wall, but then you look at the price tag and, you know, forget even a painting. You go into Walmart or to Best Buy or to Tops or, you know, wherever you find something, you think, "Oh man, I really like that. I want that." But then you look at the price tag. And the price tag is astronomical. The price tag is out of this world. And you ask to yourself, "Why is this so expensive?" And maybe you go up to that poor cashier and you say, "Why is this so expensive?" By the way, they don't set the prices. So don't ask them, "Why is it so expensive?" But you go up and you ask, "Why is it so expensive?" And they reply to you, "Well, this here is one of a kind." And thinking about the artist or the painting, and they say it was created by a renowned artist, and the artist himself signed it with his own blood. That would make us view that painting just a little bit differently, wouldn't it? You would recognize its immense value because of the cost. I want you to know that the church had an immense cost. Christ's blood was the price for his church. Christ's blood was the price for you and for me. And that should tell us how precious the church is. But not only this morning did Christ die for the church, secondly this morning, we see that Christ loves the church. Again, if he didn't love us, he wouldn't have died for us. But Christ not only died for the church, but he also loves it very deeply. Again, Ephesians 5:25, the Bible tells us, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And so just as Christ sacrificially loves his bride, the church, we are called to love what he loves. And if we realize this morning that Christ loves the church and gave himself for the church, then we too ought to love the church and we too ought to give of ourselves to the church. If we are followers of Christ, we are commanded to love the church. You see, the church is the body of believers that Christ is returning for. And he has a deep, abiding love for it. You think about this. A man who loves his wife would never neglect her. He would spend time with her, sacrifice for her, cherish her above all others. There's a meme or a joke out there that I saw recently, and it basically said to the effect that marriage is picking that one special person that you get to annoy for the rest of your life. And listen, you might get on each other's nerves. You might do things that presses each other's buttons. For example, Mandy. Yesterday, I asked her to hand me something and that I needed to put away into a cabinet. And she goes and she hands it to me. And I go to reach out for it and she just pulls it back. And she goes, "Ooh, too slow, too slow." And I just look at her and I say, "Not a jury in the world will convict me. Not a jury in the world." And so she just keeps doing that. And so finally I'm sitting there and she says, "I can tell you're thinking." I said, "What do you mean you can tell I'm thinking?" And she says, "I can just see it on your face. You're thinking." And so she's still there, pulling it back and forth. And so finally I just take both hands and I yank it from her. And she's still holding on to it. It's like a tug of war. And I said, "Not a jury in the world will convict me." But despite all of that, there's never no neglect. There's time spent, sacrifices, cherishment, all the rest. But in that same way, Christ cherishes his church. And when we truly love him, we cannot help but love what he loves. How can we claim to love Christ if we are indifferent or neglectful of the church? We can't. It would be like a husband or a wife saying, "Yep, I love my husband, I love my wife," but then going and living in a hotel for all of your marriage. It doesn't work that way. And as a Christian, you can't say, "I love the church," or "I love Christ," and not love the church, and not want to be in church and spend time in church. I remember growing up, and when I was 9 years of age, my friend invited me to church, and August 1st, 1999, I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I remember from that day forward, I wanted to be in church. Now, when I got to be a teenager, I backslid, got out of church and all the rest, but when I was younger, I wanted to be in church. I remember after church, Pastor Hickernell, he would we had like three or four church vans. We had van routes all over the city, and we'd take people home, pick people up, boys, girls, adults. And Pastor Hickernell, he had the adult van route. And so he'd take adults home, some older folks, younger folks, whatever the case may be. And I remember some of us and the other kids, we'd want to spend time and just be in church. And, we'd volunteer, go on the van route, help him, help the people off the van. We'd have to take a stool, put the stool out to help him out of the van, things along that line. And then after that, he'd take us out to lunch, Burger King or McDonald's or something like that. And then, we'd wind up back in the church and we just hang out at church all day from the time morning service is over till the time evening service came to be. In fact, the reason we started having afternoon services was because on Sundays we had dinners, was because after the dinner, people would just come up to the sanctuary or go into the classrooms or whatever the case may be, and they just stay in church all day from Sunday morning to Sunday night. And then after Sunday night was over, that we would sit in the lobby and talk and visit and fellowship. And after a while, Pastor Hickernell would have to say, "Okay, people, time to go home," because it was like 9 o'clock at night. But people wanted to be in church. They loved the church. And even back then, I couldn't help but think, how could someone say they love the church and not be in church? But we see Christ died for the church. Christ loved the church. And that's his part. He died for the church. He loved the church. But now, thirdly and finally, here's our part. We need to give of yourself to the church. We need to give of yourself to the church. You say, how do we keep our love for the church strong? It's simple. It's by giving ourselves to it. And listen, I want you to know this morning, it's not just enough to simply show up on Sundays. It's not just enough to show up on Wednesdays. We are called to invest in the body of Christ. This means, yes, our faithful attendance. We ought to be here when the doors are open. We ought to be here when the services are going on and the Bible studies and the prayer meetings and so on and so forth. But it extends beyond just that. We need to give of our tithes and our offerings. Yes, we know that. But it goes beyond our tithes and our offerings. We need to pray for one another. We need to check up on one another. We need to, when someone's sick, check in on them. When someone's missed, you know, more than one service, check up on them. When somebody's going through a trial, check up on them. We need to be in prayer for them. We need to encourage one another. We need to pray for the pastor, encourage the pastor, encourage his wife, encourage the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, those who are serving the church. We need to, just simply put, we need to serve wherever there is a need. Wherever it is we see that there's something that needs to be done, we need to, if we have the ability, the talent, the capability to step up and do it, we need to step up and do it. And just serve wherever there is a need. You picture a person who they've invested in their garden. And they water it, they tend to the weeds, they give it the sunlight that it needs to grow. And over time, that garden begins to thrive. Over time, it becomes a very beautiful sight. And the more effort they put in, the more that they see the beauty and the value of it. The same goes for our involvement in the church. Listen, the more we invest in it with, again, our time, our talent, our treasure, the more we give, guess what? The more we're going to get out of it. The more that we're going to love it. I've said it often that, you know, when we're on our way to church, we need to say, okay, I'm going to church today to get something out of church. Listen, so many people, they come to church never expecting to get anything out of it, never expecting God to speak to them, never expecting to enjoy the fellowship. And listen, if you come to church not expecting to get anything out of it, you're never going to get anything out of it. And listen, you need to come to church and say, you know what? Hey, I'm going to get to see so-and-so. Check up on so-and-so. Hey, they weren't here last week, but they're back this week. How are you doing this week? And just the more that you put into it, the more you'll get in return, the more that you'll love it. You say, then what can we do this morning? Simply this. You can start by committing to attend church faithfully. That's the very first step. And listen, not out of obligation, not because as the pastor I always harp on it to be here and make sure you're part of things, but listen, you're here out of love. You're here because you know Christ wants you here and you know that you want to be here. You can pray for your pastor, you can pray for the leaders, you can pray for the needs of the congregation. You can look for ways to serve. Again, whether it's a Sunday school class, a small group, a children's ministry, helping with church events. Listen, we're going to have VBS this summer. You can volunteer to lead a craft or lead a lesson or lead a memory verse or give money so that we can get snacks or bring snacks or do the snack time or, you know, whatever the case may be. But the more you invest, the more you will grow to love the church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The local church this morning is one of God's most precious gifts to us. It is a place of fellowship. It is a place of worship. It's a place of growth in Christ. This whole year, we're talking and focusing on growing in Christ. That's our theme. Well, you will not grow in Christ until you first love the church. And we have to come to the realization and realize that church is much more than just a building. C-H-U-R-C-H. You are the church. And without you are, there can be no church. F-U-T-U-R-E. You are the future of the church. That's why I always teach, you know, just this past week, and granted, it closed back in, I think, 2009, but the First Baptist Church of Elmira burned to the ground this week. Listen, this church tomorrow, it could burn to the ground tomorrow. And listen, for those of you that have been here a long time, I'm sure that would be very sad for you. But you can be encouraged that if the building goes, the church would still be here. Because the church is not this brick and mortar. The church is each one of you. You are the church. The church is a living, breathing organism. It's the body of Christ. And that body is worth loving. It's worth living for. It's worth investing in. Christ gave his life for the church. As Christians this morning, we need to follow his example and love what he loves. You see, if we truly desire to deepen our love for Christ, we must also deepen our love for his church. And so today I challenge each of us, love the church as Christ loved the church. Invest in it, pray in it, serve in it, cherish it. Ask God this morning to give you a renewed passion for his house. Ask him to help you to see its value as he sees it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope this morning we too will be glad, knowing that we are a part of something that's eternal, something that Christ bought with his own blood. And so for the rest of this year, let's seek to go to the house of the Lord with joy and with gratitude. Let's seek to love the church. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.